You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you touch it, so really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window, trying to shout into the war, and I'd like to give the information. Ask me for the plug makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise. And I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number three of the Common Sense Show. This is your host, Dave Hodges, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Again, our thanks to Steve Quayle for a very informative and educational first hour. Our thanks to Monica Wesolowski from the State Department for coming on very, very short notice and giving us that very succinct eyewitness account. Do you hear this, Doubting Thomas's eyewitness account of the attempted Antifa terrorist attack on Confederate reenactment actors at the Cedarsburg war simulation? Monica just knocked my socks off yesterday and again tonight. So thanks go out to Monica. Want to remind everybody, for a while, until they kick me off, we do have a YouTube channel, The Common Sense Show, and I do anywhere now between 8 to 10 news updates per day, and all of them are being demonetized, even when I write about how to prolong your life through psychological health. They didn't like that one either. I guess it's part of their depopulation agenda. But anyway, I encourage you to visit us as long as we're there. We also have the website at thecommonsenseshow.com, and we'd encourage you to visit there every day. We have a plethora of stuff up there, and we're trying to keep up with the bad guys, and I'll tell you, I'm challenged. I mean, I'm looking to take on someone who can help me with producing material on the website, because I can't cover enough, I think, to make any kind of difference. Anyway, this hour is brought to you by TradeGeniusAcademy.com, and I've been demonetized on YouTube for talking about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. Well, that tells me that when you're over the target, you know, you're getting the flack. I mean, those two things go together. Bitcoin and cryptocurrency is where it's at right now. Will it bubble out someday? Perhaps. It's not going to bubble out in the near future. J.P. Morgan's done a 180 on this. Well, my friend Bob Kudla, who's been on this show a lot as our financial advisor, is telling people, get into Bitcoin, get your money out, get into precious metals, get into Bitcoin a little more, and do the same thing. And he has a training course, a 7-part training course, takes about 3.5 hours to get through, and it's a really, really a great deal. And I mean great, capital G, because here's why. He was given a 50% off sale. Well, that's not good enough. He decided he was going to do better. The discount's gone, but listen to this. When you take his course and complete it, you're going to get to go to the insider trading room, and you'll see how he places his investments, how his top Confederates, I shouldn't use that word, we'll get firebombed here by Antifa, how his associates place their investments, and you'll be able to ask for advice right online. You get that free service for a year just for taking the course. TradeGeniusAcademy.com. Also, we're brought to you by our co-host tonight with me, Bob Griswold, ReadyMadeResources.com. And Bob has a deal out where now if you complete your shortwave license, he is going to go ahead and give you a shortwave radio. Bob, give out that email again, if you would, that people can send their...
They can contact me at Robert at ReadyMadeResources.com. And just so people know, anybody who gets their shortwave radio license will get, the first person who gets it and gives me their call sign after tonight, the 15th, I'm going to give away two of the Bofang F8, multi-watt ham radios. Again, as we mentioned last hour, ham radio is the only non-networked form of communication you will have.
Exactly.
And during the crisis. So
that's
somebody
great,
will get two
deal.
Of those radios free.
That's a great, great deal. Well, one more sponsor for this hour. Then we're going to move on to our next guest. I'm really looking forward to this, too. Numana. And I don't know how you could listen to this show tonight or read what I have written this week or listen to the YouTube broadcast and not conclude that at some point in time, you're going to need to have your own store of food, water, guns, gold, ammo, and medicine. And we can help you with the food. Numana is the best out there. Best quality, best tasting, restaurant quality, no glyphosate, GMOs, 25-year shelf life. Go to numana.com/Hodges and use the promo code Hodges9 to take 5% off. Well, our next guest is Scott Bennett. And if you follow this show for any length of time, I've interviewed Scott three times, twice here on this show and once on a station up in northern Colorado when I was guest hosting. And he has made the connection in the past between CIA, ISIS, Hillary Clinton. We've made these affiliations before, but he's back and he's going to add to our knowledge of what's going on in Vegas and what's going on in general. I call Scott a former Army PSYOPs officer, and we're going to bring him in here. And Scott, welcome to the program. And in a minute or so, tell the people what your background is so they know that you know what the heck you're talking about.
Yeah, well, David, it's great to be with you, and I'm honored. Thank you. And I'll just say real quick, my background, I lived in California all my life, but I moved out to Washington in 1998, and I worked for the Republican Party. I worked for a variety of organizations. I was getting my master's. I got my PhD. And I went to work for the Bush administration from 2003 to 2008, and then I moved into Booz Allen Hamilton. I was offered a position in psychological operations because my background was in advertising and, of course, my public policy skills. And I went into Booz Allen Hamilton, and then they offered me a direct commission in the Army to be a psychological warfare officer. And I went to work for Booz Allen Hamilton, then got a direct commission of the Army, went through boot camp, special operations officer, Fort Bragg, Fort Jackson, all over the colorful carnival. And then I went into the State Department Counterterrorism Office and worked for General Del Daley, who was the JSOC, Joint Special Operations Command commander, and he was in charge of counterterrorism operations. And I was doing psychological warfare with the State Department. I never talk about anything classified, but I had a top secret SCI clearance, which is one of the top ones that you could have. And then I went down to U.S. Central Command doing terrorist financing, tracking the financing and the money supplies. And I started discovering a lot of things about Dov Zakheim, who was my boss, and who was formerly the Pentagon comptroller, where $2.3 trillion went missing. And Dov Zakheim, his son, Roger Zakheim, the Clinton Foundation, Covington & Burling, a law firm where Eric Holder and Lanny Brewer worked, and then went back to work after they left the administration. And I started seeing a lot of terrorist financing and international banks, and started drawing attention because I was still under the delusion that 9/11 had been what the government, you know, reported it to be. But I was getting too close, I think, and doing too much of an aggressive work. And the next thing I know, I'm charged with a paperwork error on a housing form, and I thought it was a training exercise. I honestly thought they were pushing me to see if I could endure sort of a Sears training. And Donna Shalala's nephew, David Shalala, became my attorney, so I really thought it was a setup. And next thing I know, I'm thrown in jail for a paperwork error and given 3 years. And I thought, what in the name of God just happened? But, you know, I believe in miracles now, because when I was in the belly of the beast trying to fight my way out, trying to get the military to come in and rescue me and saying this is all a big misunderstanding, I met Brad Birkenfeld, the Swiss banker who had 19,000 Swiss bank accounts that had been brought over, and he had been thrown in jail when he tried to report it. And these bank accounts were what directly Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation and all of the things that you've seen in the WikiLeaks cables over the last year or two, all of that we had in 2012. So I wrote a book on it, and it was originally a military whistleblowing report to Congress. It was titled Shell Game. And people can go to shellgamewhistleblower.com, and the book and my website and the whole story is up there. But Shell Game was the report about all the Swiss banks and the Clinton Foundation and the WikiLeaks cables and everything that we had in a form of a military report to Congress to request them to step in and investigate and confiscate this money, and reported about things that were moving in Libya and Syria. And the real tragedy is that no one in the Congress, no one in the military, and no one in Fox News or the Washington Post or any of these media organizations did anything about it. And I had met with Tom Hamburger and Michael Isikoff, who had interviewed me for 2 hours, and they were CIA sub-agents, and they never did anything about it, never reported anything. You know, I reported to them. They just wanted to know the story and told me, why do you think the CIA would do this? So it's riddled with CIA intelligence, Swiss banks, Clinton Foundation, Obama stuff. We've set it up the food chain to the Trump administration, and we are in the midst of filing civil rights violations in court because I'm still fighting the court to have this whole thing exposed and have this whole thing brought under a ineffective assistance of counsel. And when that happens, I think all hell's going to break loose. But that's sort of a nutshell.
Well, that is amazing. That is, what a detailed background, what a marvelous background. And you said the magic words in there, too, the Clinton Foundation. I have written a book on them in articles. It's incredible. I don't know how many times I've mentioned them. But let's get down to what's going on in Vegas. I mean, the false flag is there. It's clear. The official narrative of the FBI has been totally destroyed. They've tried to revise their timelines numerous times. Who's behind this, Scott? What's going on? What can you tell us that the average person wouldn't be able to get their hands on in this information?
Well, I start out with the default position of it's a false flag. The moment you see things like this, you have to start out with a default that it's fake, it's false, it's fabricated, it's artificially engineered to manipulate the public, to traumatize the public, and keep them under pressure, keep them controlled. That's a very sad reality, but that's the reality of where we are in 2017. We are no longer in 1980 America with the happy Ronald Reagan and the Cold War. We are now in the police state tyranny of a lobotomized society that has been ruined by 25, 30 years of all sorts of perverse social policy, corrupt educational policy, all of the things that this country has suffered over the last 25 years, we're now suffering the fruits of in our population and our government. The Vegas thing, I've worked a lot with Jim Fetzer on. I've been working with him and looking at a lot of this forensic evidence and analysis as it comes in. And the short answer is, Dave, this was a fake attack. It was a false flag attack. The forensic evidence proves it. And the absence of the forensic evidence proving the government story is precisely why the entire case should be dismissed as a training exercise or some sort of non-reality activity. But it certainly was not reality. And, I mean, Jim Fetzer's done some great work exposing the lack of bodies, the lack of damage, the presence of crisis actors. And you can match up if you do the analysis of the bullets, for example. And I've looked at the room, I've looked at the bullets, I've looked at the weapons, I've seen blanks on the floor. That's the thing that gives them away. They move so quickly. And who does it? Well, you know, that's still coming out. CIA, FBI, Mossad, a gathering of them. I don't believe for a second that it was some sort of terrorist group that went into a room and purposely shot up the United, you know, the country Western concert. I think there may have been an element of that, but this was an internal operation. I saw a three-shot burst fired from a rifle that was directly above the machine gun burst. Now, they may have been firing blanks. They may have been firing real rounds. That's yet to be determined. But I saw at least a second shooter. I saw it with my own eyes, and I captured the video. I made a screen capture of the photograph, and then the video was taken down off of YouTube. So I saw the three-shot burst fired from a rifle, and anyone who's been in the military understands the military weapon fires three shots very quickly, boom, 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 and you can tell. You can see what it is. And the other forensic reality would be the bullet casings. Thousands and thousands of bullets would have been littered all over the room. The body of the guy would have been saturated with cordite, the gunpowder that is expelled from a weapon when you fire it. It would have been in his clothes, on his skin, in his hair. It would have been all over the room. The windows, had they been broken or taken out, the sensors on those windows would have set off and been recorded electronically, because the windows are to prevent suicides from those high-rise hotels. So the absence of the bullets, the presence of blanks you can tell because they have crimped ends, and I know this from military training. There's a very easy way to spot them. So there's bullets, there's lack of bullets, I should say blanks. There's probably enormous lack of impact points on the tarmac, on the cement below. That can be very easily examined. There should be thousands of brass bullet casings on the tarmac and the cement. In the absence of that, suggests that, yeah, this was a crisis actor exercise. There may be some people that were shot. They could have done a hybrid operation where they brought up, for example, the police officer or the security guard that can be seen in one of the photo frames shooting off his what looks to be a automatic pistol. Which it doesn't look like a major rifle. It just looks like he's loading a magazine and he fires it, and that was from the ground. So all of this just, again, proves the broad stroke reality that this was not an individual from the 32nd floor shooting down on a country western scene. There's a lot more there to it. Now, you have to be adult enough to recognize that the mainstream media are going to lie to you. The police and the FBI are all going to lie to you. They've got a track record for that. This is not a conspiracy theory point of view. This is not an anti-American point of view. No one loves the country more than I. No one loves the military more than I. No one loves the Constitution more than I. So when I say these things, it pains me, but at the same time, I have to recognize our duty is to our country, our Constitution, not to the government, regardless of the party of the person that's operating it. Our loyalty is to our families, our communities, our states, and our nation. And what we've seen in Las Vegas, I think was a precipitating attack that was followed by these fires in California. That's another very strange manipulation, is are multiple fires that I've never had in October in California. Maybe in July, but you've never had fires of this magnitude in California in October suddenly spring up overnight, right after the Las Vegas attack. So I think this Las Vegas attack can be proven in the coming days and weeks as all of these citizen journalists and analysts submit their videos. And I think that's a very key part to remember, is everyone today is a journalist. Everyone today is a prosecuting attorney, because all of your document trail, all of your video trails and evidence need to be submitted to your congressman, your senator, and the courts as a civil suit for disturbing the domestic tranquility, violating the peace of the contract between a people and their government. This is not just a one-time thing. This should be challenged in court by competent people, competent lawyers that will present the evidence and expose, you know, what really happened, and not what the government says happened. And I think things about the shooting at the Bellagio Hotel, all of that, again, suggests this was a multiple shooter operation from multiple vantage points, from the ground as well as in the high-rise buildings. And all of the physical evidence, which should not be destroyed, we're not sending bullet casings to China like we did the steel from 9/11. Every single bullet should be traced back to the weapons in the room, and if they are not traced back, if they can't be forensically connected to the barrels of those guns, then again, they're completely coming apart at the seams.
Do you think that's going to be done? Do you think that will really be done?
That's the thing. Do I have trust that the government authorities are going to do it? Absolutely not. Do I believe citizens can rise up and do it themselves? I don't think we have any alternative. People have to. But the most important thing is for them to be armed in their minds and their imagination, so they're not fooled into surrendering more and more of their rights, surrendering more and more of their healthy cynicism and distrust from these sorts of things that the government forces them to think.
question for you, just your analysis of this. The largest gun show in the country is coming up here in a few months, SHOT Show.
Yeah.
How would you rate that as a potential target? Just curious.
Well, I don't think anybody would be wise to even consider going to a gun show to shoot it up, because you've got some, we all know guys who shoot guns and gals, but guys, the guys who shoot guns that you know, appreciate guns, they're the most loyal, law-abiding, honorable, constitutional, patriotic men on the planet. There are no schizophrenics, there's no violent thugs, there's no violence in these men. These are men who love guns, love shooting, because it's part of their culture, part of their training. There's a camaraderie, there's a tribalism that we all feel when we go to these gun shows. And I loved going to gun shows in Virginia and all over. So those sorts of people do not engage in criminal acts with weapons. And
I'm
anyone
curious,
who comes in...
An external threat to it, not from
I think the external, anybody who picked a fight with a gun show would come out on a gurney dead, because gun shows would have guys that have no problem snapping into action, and you would have a very insecure environment. So unless it's a completely false flag gun show, you're messing around with a lot of guys who. I mean, if I went to a gun show and had my gun on my hip and I saw something starting to unfold and a shot go by, I wouldn't have a hesitation to pull my weapon and kill anybody that I saw shooting in my direction, or in anybody else, other's direction. And I think the bad guys know that. And I think if they tried to pick a fight with a gun show and tried to shoot it out or tried to launch something, they would be killed or caught very quickly. Because, again... People who shoot guns are very alert, and you know, I don't see them picking a fight. Now, I could see them pulling a false flag attack somewhere else. You know, and again, shooting fish in a barrel. Where can they do that? Senior citizen boat trips, kindergartens. I mean, some of the most horrible places that they could do, where there's no defense. That would be more logical.
Yeah, you just mentioned my greatest fear. I, you know, when they were doing the attack on that Nairobi shopping center a few years ago, and I thought that was a beta test, I often said at the time, why not do an elementary school at the time of dismissal and then station your ancillary troops to where they can kill the first responders that try to get to the scene and come to the rescue? Wouldn't schools make the perfect soft target, elementary schools in particular?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're very easy. They're very soft target oriented.
I cringe when you say that, Dave. I just cringe when you say that, because you know it is such a ripe target, and people that have been devoid of any conscious or moral thought for their fellow human being look at those things, and we cringe at the thought of something like that happen. And yet, the very places, like we've pointed out so many times, they've turned these schools into gun-free zones, and obvious, the people who bring the guns there to shoot people do not obey that. But anybody who would be a potential threat to them has been defanged. They can't take a gun to it. So these children are just at the mercy of somebody's conscience who has no conscience.
Yeah, and that shows the corrective actions that need to be done in the American society. There need to be corrective actions that Trump does. He should immediately issue a right to carry permit, a federal right to carry permit, which, yeah, we know is already the Second Amendment of the Constitution, but it seems certain states and Supreme Courts and others have forgotten that, so he needs to dust it off and give it a fresh, you know, steel wool and lubrication and oil and lock it and load, and say every American citizen has a right to keep and carry a weapon concealed anywhere, anytime. And I'm putting an executive order out. Now, of course, it should be done for teachers and for principals and for doctors, professionals who are in locations where individuals are, are disadvantaged, like children or places like that. That goes without saying. That's a no-brainer that schools and principals and others should be allowed to carry a weapon to protect their children. And I don't mean a security guard. I don't mean someone dressed as a security guard. I mean a teacher should be able to carry a weapon in their on their person and in their desk, and so should a principal, for the very reasons that you just identified. So Trump can rectify that. He can write an executive order that says every American citizen has a right to keep and bear arms, and I'm putting it in an executive order. Now he can tinker with it a little bit. We can make it attractive language, so it's not saying people right out of a hospital with a mental derangement are going to get one. But these are the things that need to change. We had those rights in the 1800s. We had these rights before the state oppression started, I'd say under Teddy Roosevelt, and then of course it was quickened after the First World War. And those rights are what we need to rediscover. And part of there's something happening in California called the New California Movement to split California legally and constitutionally, not secession, but to legally split California like the Dakotas were split, like the Carolinas were split, and Virginia was split. And there's a legal way to split California, and the reason for this is the oppression of the liberal Democrat police state by Jerry Brown and these oppressive anti-gun laws, the vaccine laws, the environmental lunacy, and now we see the sanctuary city state. All of these things are causing a political mitosis in America, a fracturing, a major splitting, where people are splitting along the fracture points of moral values, family values, and freedom. The freedom to live and defend yourself and prosper without government oppression and a police state control. So we have to prepare and look at Sandy Hook, for example. Sandy Hook has been exposed as one of the greatest false flags that has ever occurred. Kevin Barrett, Paul Preston, James Fetzer, Halbig, all these people have done extraordinary work analyzing that the school had been shut down. It was not an operational school. There was no power turned on. The police had been there a day before. There was yellow tape up before the shooting was recorded. The bullet holes were drilled. Every car in the parking lot was parked facing exactly the same direction. That doesn't happen. And yet we see not a whiff, not a word, not a challenge about this, except from Mr. Halbig, who's in court because they had the stupidity to try and sue him. And I think when all of this material is introduced, you will see that for example, one of the guys in the video of the Sandy Hook is claiming to be a father of one of the kids that was slain. But then in another part of the video, you see this guy dressed up in a SWAT outfit, pretending to be a policeman, holding his weapon upside down by the magazine, which anybody who's been in military or police training does not do. And yet you've seen this guy on the video captured in a SWAT uniform going around in a circle, and then you see him on TV pleading in the Bill Moyers show with his wife, who's also a crisis actor from PBS, pleading for weapons to be taken, pleading for all sorts of new legislation against weapons. So it's surreal, and it's mind-boggling what's happening in this country. But you know, we have to mature up and not back down. We have to not doesn't mean be violent. Doesn't have to be. Don't be crazy. Don't do anything unnatural or illegal. But it means prepare yourself mentally and your family.
Scott, when you look at this event in Vegas, you know, I don't want to get to the point where all we did with Kennedy for over three decades, going on four decades, all we did was argue over the forensics like it was some kind of parlor game. I want to get down to causation. Who's behind it? Do you have any suspicions, not just who the people who carried this out were, their agencies and everything, but what's the point?
Well, one of the things that's been discussed is, could this have been a Israeli Mossad operation to punish Trump and the United States for backing away from some of their political agenda items, specifically the disruption of the Middle East, the Yehuda Dinan plan, where the Israelis were planning on balkanizing all of the nations of the Middle East and North Africa, splitting them apart so that they were not threats. That's the Israeli anti-Muslim strategy from the 1980s, and they've been pursuing that. That's why General Wesley Clark had said they're planning to take down seven countries in 5 years. That was part of their long-term agenda, and they did Afghanistan, they did Iraq, they did Libya, they tried to do Syria, and next they're trying to do Iran. But that sort of slowed. It fell apart. And there's speculation that the Israeli Mossad has played a part in this. Anytime you see anything with ISIS, and the Israeli magazines and newspapers had claimed this was an ISIS attack and claimed that this guy was a convert to ISIS, that tells me that the Israeli Mossad had something to do with it, most likely for them to immediately, within 4 to 6 hours of the event, claim that it was an ISIS operation. So there's that possibility, and it wouldn't surprise me. We've seen the Mossad fingerprints on the Charlie Hebdo attack, where they claim to have, you know, the terrorist claims to have shot a police officer, and yet in the video that was captured from someone up above in a building, you see a puff of wind, a puff of air, as the guy shoots his weapon allegedly into the police officer lying on the ground. Well, anyone who's fired an AK-47, which was the weapon that they were firing, a 7.62 round, understands that at a close range of a foot and a half, 2 feet, that weapon is going to cause enormous explosion on the cement. You're going to have the whole thing. It's going to be like setting off a stick of dynamite. And yet nothing.
The
like
barrel
that.
Pressure on AK-47 is around 40,000 psi at the barrel.
There you go. There you go. So
that's why Bob's on tonight.
Yeah, well, he knows. He knows what he's talking about. And Bob, you jump in and interrupt me anytime, pal, because I just
wanted to throw that in. The barrel pressure of that. An AR-15, the barrel pressure is about 55,000 pounds.
So we put the evidence together, we put the videos, we put the photographs, and we see some very, very strange things that physically are impossible. What Bob just said affirms that it's physically impossible for an AK-47 to shoot the ground at a foot and a half, 2 feet, as the guy is jumping over the wounded police officer, shoot the weapon as he jumps over him, and have nothing but a puff of air impact the cement and call that a weapon. Call that the murdering of a police officer. So the Charlie Hebdo indicates there's a lot of European false flag planning operations to keep them tense. Israel has an agenda there because they want everybody to hate and distrust the Muslims, because then they cause civil war and all sorts of breakdown. And funny, they're not causing any trouble in Israel. That's because Saudi Arabia and Israel have an agenda. They've got a blood connection. The Syrian operation is a whole example of that. You know, I do so many interviews with Press TV and RT, and it's just amazing because they don't edit. They don't tell me what to say in any way. They just ask me questions, and I say, here's what I think. Here's what I've seen. And it's very refreshing to have a media source just let people talk. And they have Jim Fetzer, they have Kevin Barrett, they've got Mike Harris, they've got Gordon Duff, they've got all of the best people that are the best Americans with the best minds just talking. And when we analyze Syria and Iran and Russia and the Middle East and what's going on, and we analyze Trump, and I like Trump, honestly. I voted for him because I feared Hillary Clinton would be the absolute wicked witch of the East, and I knew for a fact she was because I saw all the bank accounts that she had stolen and had used and laundered money for in the Clinton Foundation, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Kuwait, Morocco, United Arab Emirates. I saw all of this money that was going through the Clinton Foundation in exchange for Secretary of State favors, and I reported that up to the military in 2012, September 25th. And again, that's the basis of Shell Game, was that initial report to Congress. And I reported it to Trey Gowdy. I reported it to like over 100 congressmen and senators. Rand Paul, the only one that wrote me back was Rand Paul. Jim Webb said, I'm stepping down. I can't deal with any of this. The Armed Intelligence Committee of the Senate and the House, the Intelligence Committee of the House and the Senate, the Homeland Security Committees, all of the people. I even went into Mark DeSaulnier's office, my congressman, and said, here's the book, Shell Game. Here's what the story is. I'm videotaping it. I put it up on YouTube. Now I'm asking you to take this and file an official action. This was before the election in August of 2016. He buried it, did not do anything with it. So it proves to me that the entire political fraternity in this country is a bunch of castrated weaklings and cowards, where we need to throw them out like the disease they are and demand new leadership rise up. And where do you find them? In probably your veterans groups, your churches, anywhere you have a moral integrity level. But we really need to get serious if we're going to save this country. And I see us on the edge of a waterfall, fast going over. And these sorts of shootings, you know, like you started out, Dave, who is responsible for this? Well, it's a potential of the Mossad Israeli. It's a potential of the FBI, CIA, a potential military contractor. You can get into the why, and that's, you know, sort of endless. But I think the general broad stroke is they want to maintain fear and control. They want to confiscate weapons because we are so close to a petrodollar meltdown, where the petrodollar is going to be abandoned by Russia, China, and inevitably Saudi Arabia is going to recalibrate their alliances, and the value of the dollar is going to, I mean, essentially come apart at the seams. And that's when you're going to see major problems and social upheaval occur, and they could be planning for trying to control that. So, you know, the thing
it's
to
already
do is
underway.
Whenever, yeah.
Scott,
yeah.
It's already underway. We've detailed tonight Vegas, the attempt on Times Square that was even bigger than Vegas, and then the attempted attack by Antifa on Civil War Confederate reenactors. And we had a lady on from the State Department that witnessed it and just was on last hour and reported on it.
Well, Charlottesville is a fascinating study as well. Jim Fetzer and I have been working on a book on this, and I won't go into too much in that if you don't want, but we can save it for another day. But we're putting together a lot of the intel on Charlottesville, and that's another psychological operation, too, that came in three phases. And it culminated or climaxed with the alleged car that rammed into those protesters. But when you look at the photographic evidence, you see these protesters in one frame have a bunch of banners and carrying flags and signs as the car is impacting. And then in another picture, you see them without signs and banners as the car is in the same position. So you've got two different photographs, two different crowds, two different moments. That's usually what a director does when they film a movie. They're shooting it twice. So, you know, you have the shooting of the filmation aspects of the Charlottesville attack. You've got the driver of the car themselves seems to be a different person. You've got a sort of a medicated schizophrenic guy. And then you've got the other photographs of a different individual driving. You've got some very sketchy stuff with the two police officers that are allegedly crashed in the helicopter. You've got the individual organizing the, quote, conservative, racist Nazi group, which I suspect is an entire Hillary Clinton liberal operation, because one of the chief guys, I think his name's Chandler, was a Hillary Clinton Obama liberal leftist that supposedly became a conservative pro-Trump guy after the election. No, it doesn't work that way. This guy and these people planned this operation to make conservatives look like a bunch of Nazis, a bunch of psychopaths, a bunch of tattooed radical hillbillies, and they wanted to make America think that all conservatives are like that. Why? Well, because they want to take power away from Trump. They want to keep people away from the voting booths. They want to traumatize and make everybody feel guilty. And that was the point of Charlottesville, is to create an event blame it on the white conservative Republican, and then try and make everybody feel guilty who's white or a Republican or a Trump voter, so they don't vote or stay home or switch sides. And they immediately started taking down the statues of Confederate soldiers all over the country. That's very alarming, because that's an assault on history. And if you assault and try and remove and erase history, you are erasing a person's identity. History is a core component of identity. History, spirituality, and sexuality. Your understanding of you as a man, as a woman, you know, a warrior, a mother, a husband, a family member, what a man is, your whole character is defined by your sexual energies, your sexual identity. And they've tried to blur and spin that and dissect that and transform it into transgender this and, you know, bi and lesbian, gay, trans. I mean, the whole LGBT thing is an assault on the core identity of American citizens. And then history itself, when you attack history and pull down these statues, you're attacking individual identity. The Antifa groups, of course, follow the fascist models of the 1930s. These kids who are part of this, I mean, you're talking about a very schizophrenic, mentally ill part of the population. That shouldn't surprise us, because these left-wing anarchist Antifa types who dress in black hoodies and are some of the most violent thugs shouting down speakers at Berkeley and elsewhere, these people are the product of 30 years of social experimentation by the liberals in the school systems, in the churches. I mean, some of the greatest scumbags are pastors in churches, because they don't talk about anything from a manly perspective. They don't talk about your duty to your country, your society. They don't talk about being a powerful father, a powerful mother. They don't talk about taking ownership over your communities, taking ownership of the political process, articulating from a spiritual, religious, moral philosophy, articulating public policy or politics or laws and debating and analyzing things. The churches have had their testicular fortitude cut off, and now they're a bunch of little old lady sitting clubs, you know, just doing nothing. But I'm okay, you're okay, we're all going to be okay when Jesus comes home. So let's just sit in our rocking chairs and don't play a part in the social decay all around us. Don't be salt and light, because that's going to take away our 501c3 status. So the churches have lost everything that I think God intended, and they will be the ones that judgment comes upon first. But the churches have failed with liberalism. The schools, of course, are absolute Frankenstein experiment institutions. People should be disgusted and ashamed what's done to their children. And the military. My God, I wrote a report, and 1 month later I was indicted by the Obama administration. And the report I wrote was, if you change the whole don't ask, don't tell sexual policy that we have, and allow people to get sex changes, allow men and women to, or men to marry men and women to marry women and all that, you are going to destroy the military, because the best guys in the military are going to leave, and what you're going to have is this whole defunct, you know, just the worst people that would be serving the military, not because they want to love the country, but because they're in there for their own social narcissistic pursuits and lusts. So when I wrote a report on the sexual disintegration of the military and what Obama was trying to do, 30 days later is when I received my indictment letter from what later became the whole shell game story. And, you know, the rest is history. But I think we have to start with programs like yours, Dave, are the only things that give people the fearless voices, the absolute core of truth, and unapologetic people like myself, like you, like Bob. We're not afraid to tell the truth. We don't have an angle. We don't care if it upsets people. We're only talking to the people who love the truth and are looking for people to help lead them and inspire them. Those are the only people that I want to have anything to do with. If people want to come to me and try and debate me or talk about this, they can try, but I don't have a lot of time for it. I'm of a military mind that we're in a war, And if we don't stand up and get intelligent, if we don't stand up and take back our positions of political leadership in the Congress, if we don't take back key positions in the military and have real men of honor leading the military, and if we don't stop this reckless, insane global crusade to get in a fight with everybody that we see for their mineral resources, Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, now North Korea, if we don't alter that course, we're going to, I mean, just destroy any semblance of democracy or freedom that we have. And I have been hoping Trump is going to get smart and begin to shift some of his courses, because he seems to have done the opposite of a lot of the things that got him elected. And if he doesn't shift course, I'm very fearful that he could be a one-term president, because he's already betrayed a lot of the original promises. He said he was going to make friends with Russia. You've pissed off Russia. You've taken their embassies. You've taken their consulate. Now you're threatening sanctions. You've allowed the Congress to do it. Why the hell haven't you been at a podium like Ronald Reagan would have and said, my fellow Americans, this is all bull? He hasn't done that. Now he's trying to pick a fight with Iran, with the JCPOA. And every European country is starting to really despise us for that. What's that going to do? It's going to drive them to Russia. So you're going to see a lot of the European countries washing their hands of us, reorganizing their political and economic relationships, and I think thumbing their nose at us, because they have suffered our war military adventurism unlike anybody else. All of these massive migrants and refugees that have been coming out of North Africa and Afghanistan and Pakistan, flooding up across the Mediterranean, into Italy, into France, into Britain, into Sweden, into Germany, raping and pillaging. We've caused that. Our administration has caused that. Yes, NATO was the one who was stupid enough under Cameron and Sarkozy to go in and destroy Libya and allow all the Wahhabi mercenaries from Saudi Arabia and Qatar to come in. But if you've talked to James and Joanne Moriarty, Dave, you know their story is phenomenal. We sent that to the Bush administration, by the way. But James and Joanne Moriarty were on the ground in Libya, and they tell a story that you'll never get anywhere else. And, you know, we're seeing things as they are for the first time. And you can't pay attention to the mainstream media. You shouldn't even have it on, because it's a psychological softening, manipulative industry. There's no good in it. There's no truth in it.
It's not just the mainstream.
In the news, there's no truth, and in the truth, there's no news.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've been on RT and Press TV, and Peter Lavelle is one of my favorite guys, and I put up articles on the Duran. But it's fascinating to me how far we've fallen, because I don't see any subterfuge or Russian meddling or psychological operations in RT or Press TV, and yet we're alleging that they have meddled in the election, that they have bought Facebook ads, that they have our destruction in mind, that they are going to do everything they can to bring us down, and all of this rhetoric and propaganda and nonsense. What's most disgusting is the members of Congress and the Senate that are continuing that false narrative, which we know, and I'm glad to hear Trump kind of identified this. We know that the whole narrative of the Russian meddling was started after Hillary Clinton lost. Thank God, if nothing else. You may not like Trump, but you would be dead if you had voted for Hillary Clinton, because I fear this country would just be, I mean, you'd have manhood outlawed, you'd have every perverse lesbian, gay, homosexual act and experimental policy thrown out. I mean, the country really would be destroyed with fire and brimstone if Hillary Clinton got in. But thank God the American people threw Donald Trump into the end zone. They picked him up on their shoulders and threw him in the end zone like a quarterback. And
I was going to say, Scott, you know, it's interesting. You talked about shutting off the media, and we got kind of lost in that comment. I wanted to go back to that. I said something in the first hour. It's absolutely phenomenal what's going on right now. The intent to so bury the truth is so great that we even see the elite turning on each other. Let me give you a case in point. The Atlantic, which has been a mouthpiece for decades for the elite, came out in an article and said Facebook is destroying democracy because they're allowing too many right-wing conservative comments in and articles in, and then Facebook was blamed by The Atlantic for taking the election away from Clinton and giving it to Trump. Can you believe that?
You know, you nailed it right on the head. You're uncovering and peeling back, like Bob had said earlier, peeling back an onion. We're seeing them turn on themselves, eating themselves, destroying themselves. They have no loyalty. They have no truth in them. So when you see them saying things like this, you know they're coming apart at the seams. The left and the liberals and these Democrats in Congress and elsewhere, and the Antifa groups, they're all of the same stripe. They're all the same chaos, abusive thugs. They operate by threat and intimidation and racism and bigotry and trying to get everybody to feel guilty. You're guilty if you're a white male. You're guilty if you voted for Trump. You're not a human being. You're the absolute worst thing. You're the devil incarnate himself. That's coming out of the liberal leftists. They're not having a rational discussion or a rational conversation about things like this. They're all about tyranny and fighting. But you know what? The best fighters and the best argumentative people are the rational, reasonable minds of a conservative, right-wing, Republican, libertarian, or Christian conservative Republican, or whatever. Those people who are center-right are not animated by hostility or emotion. They don't hate their family. They don't hate God. They don't hate themselves. And that's what distinguishes us from being different. We love our family. We love God. We love our country. We even love our fellow human beings. And that's the point of these discussions of, right, come, let us reason together. The left don't want that. They are so ferocious and furious and hysterical and angry because they're of their father, the devil. They are animated with fury. And
sometimes,
you know,
for a moment there, I felt like I was almost talking to Steve Quayle. I mean, we heard this in the first hour. It's incredible. Scott, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we are out of time, my friend. Briefly
Thank
tell
you.
People how they can follow your good work.
Go to shellgamewhistleblower.com, Scott Bennett, Shell Game. You can Google it, Shell Game by Scott Bennett, a military whistleblowing report to Congress. And you can email me at armypsyop@outlook.com, and that's on the website, too. And thank you for having me, Dave. It's been an honor. And thank you, Bob, for being there, too.
It's been an honor for us to have you on. And we're not going to wait so long to have you back on again. This is incredible. Expect a call
Anytime.
From me in the near future.
Anytime,
Scott Bennett, ladies
friend.
And gentlemen, a great American hero. Bob, I want to thank you, too, personally, for coming on and helping me moderate with your expertise, your background. And in 30 seconds or less, 20 seconds or less, give out your email for the shortwave.
It's robert@readymaderesources.com. If anybody has any questions, they can call me at 800-627-3809. But again, those two radios, the first person who gets their ham radio license after this evening.
Absolutely phenomenal. Bob, you've been very generous with your time, and I'm proud to have you as a supporter of this show. You do a great job. We look forward to having you back on again.
Thank you much, Dave. God bless.
Ladies and gentlemen, two great Americans right there, Scott Bennett, Bob Griswold. I mean, these guys are awesome. Steve Quayle, Monica Wesolowski. What great people of courage. I apologize that we weren't able to hook up with Mike. I hope everything's okay. Mike has been Mr. Dependable. We have a business relationship, a friendship. I know something's come up, probably on my end. I'm going to take the hit for this. But we'll work on getting Mike on. He's too valuable of a resource for you people not to have access to him through this show. Well, I think you can hear the direction we're going to take the show. We're taking a stand. We're not just going to be reporters of the news and, gee, look at this and look at that. We are going to be a force for change, whether it's adaptive change or in-your-face change. Anyway, we're out of time, ladies and gentlemen. We will see you back here next week with more in-your-face journalism. Go out and have a great week. God bless.